Another good morning to each and every one of you. It is a wonderful day for many reasons. The day has, of course, been given to us by God Himself. The beautiful sunlight has been given by God Himself. Even the very breath that we take in is the very gift of God. And brothers and sisters, I honestly believe we can say that deserves worship. That deserves honor. That deserves worship in the first degree. That deserves honor in the first degree. So thank you, everybody, for being with us today. As far as I am concerned, there are some of you that I do not know. But we also got to meet Omo from Nigeria. Nice that you could be here. And for those that came in a little bit later, also to you, a very good morning and a welcome to each and every one of you in our service this morning. This morning, when we came traveling to Haarlem, we came by Schiphol. And I don't know about you, but when I pass Schiphol, I always have to think about those airplanes. I know it can all be explained, but it always remains a miracle to me that those big airplanes, those Boeing 747s, with their width and their height and their cargo, it takes hours to load one of those things. Passengers, sometimes only cargo, sometimes cargo and passengers. But it always remains something amazing to me that then it stands at the first part of the runway, thank you, Jim. And it starts making speed a little bit more. And then it goes even into the 300s, I guess, and then it little by little goes up into the air, and it flies about 10 kilometers above the earth, and then it lands on another place, on another continent. It amazes me. And it's almost like, how is that possible? How can that be done? You look at a ship, same thing, passengers, cargo, and you wonder, how is it possible? It loads those trucks and it loads those cars and the passengers. The food is already on the ship and everything. And again, it starts up the motor and little by little it starts to move. And before you know, you see those beautiful mountains in Norway. When you go on one of those beautiful cruises, it always amazes me. When I look at the book of Romans in chapter 8, there is something that also amazes me. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now look at the verse, look at the words that say, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And we're asking the question, what is the design of Christianity? What is the real purpose for our lives, for those that have become believers in God, according to the scriptures. What does it mean? What does it mean to you? What is your calling? What is the purpose of the true Christian life? If I'm not mistaken, and please correct me when I'm wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, true Christianity is to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is true Christianity. To be conformed to the image of Jesus. And don't we say the same thing? At least I say the same thing. God, how is that possible? How can I do that? We look at life. We look at the challenges of life. We look at the difficulties of life. We look deep within ourselves. And we see our weaknesses. For the person who has a jealous mind, he might say, God, becoming like Jesus, wow, that's a task in and of itself. The lust of life, the pride of life. And we ask ourselves, God, how is it possible? Is it ever possible? And God says, it is. God says, it is possible. Let me read from you something that we already heard in our Bible study. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. It says, for this reason I'll bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. When we think about the book of Ephesians, what comes to mind? When we look at the Bible books, they all have what we call a theme. Or we all have what we call a red line that goes through each and every book. When I think of the book of Ephesians, at least a number of things comes to mind. But maybe the greatest thing that comes to mind is that the church is the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. Now, Jim and Ruth, you are already married for a long time. Some of us has been married for a shorter time. But Jim, can you remember your wedding day?
Very well.
You remember the way that Ruth looked, right? What did she do? She met the love of her life. And she said, I want to be as beautiful as I can. I want to be perfect. I want to be blameless. I want to cover every possible little thing that needs to be covered. I want to show myself in the most beautiful way for my beloved Jim. And when Jim saw her, it was like, wow, that beautiful. And Ruth said, yes, that beautiful. When we look at the book of Ephesians, that is one of the themes in the book of Ephesians. The church is the bride of Jesus. The church is Christ's possession, with the emphasis on possession. As the Bible says in another place, we are not our own. The Bible says simply, you have died. And what happens to some to a person who died? Ella, what happens to a person that died?
He's gone.
No more. And that is the symbolic that the Bible helps us to understand when the believer, by repentance, is baptized into Jesus Christ. The old man is laid in the grave with all his fleshly behaviors, with all his fleshly passions, with all his fleshly desires. It is put to death. And the new man rises. In my discussions with people when it comes to baptism, I have learned some great lessons. I will not focus so much on why we need to be baptized. But I would like to say to someone, how important is it that the old man dies? And almost everybody will agree with me and say, oh yes, the old man needs to die. Oh yes, the new man needs to rise. And of course, especially with those from the denominations, we have that conversation. And then when you ask them, please tell me from the Bible how a person dies. And of course, then things start to get a little bit more challenging and a little bit more difficult. But that is why baptism is so important. The old man dies and is added to the church, is added to the kingdom. That is why baptism is so important. And that is so important when we think about that theme in the book of Ephesians. The church is the bride of Christ. And that bride, according to chapter 5, needs to be presented without spot and without wrinkle. That's the design of true Christianity. That's the design for you and my life. We have people from a lot of different backgrounds today, from a lot of different countries, from a lot of different backgrounds, but God's design for his people is all the same. When you look at chapter 4, verse 24 in the book of Ephesians, it says, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. That is our calling, true righteousness and true holiness. And again, when I look at myself, then I say, God, how is that possible? I am not perfect. I have my weaknesses. I have my trials. But God says, according to Ephesians chapter 3, that he will grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Brothers and sisters, you know what this means? This means we are not alone. We are never alone. What did the Spirit do? When you look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19, it says Paul has a prayer for the Ephesians. He wants them to understand a number of things. And when you look at verse 19, he says, "And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion." When Christ wanted for his readers to understand how great that power was, he says, look at Jesus. Jesus died, but Jesus was resurrected from the grave. What kind of powers does that need? Godly powers, heavenly powers. And not only that, he was also raised into heaven, far above all power and dominion. How much power is needed for that? Great powers, godly powers. But it happened. According to the will of God, it happened. He was raised. And so Paul, in that first chapter, when he wants to understand, when he wants us to understand something about that great power, and he calls it the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. Immeasurable. And of course, when we look at this world, we see God's evidence, right? We cannot see God. No one has ever seen God. No one will ever see God. For a number of reasons that we won't go into, but God has never been seen. God cannot be seen. But we see his great power. We look at the beautiful mountains. We look at the beautiful waters. We look at the beautiful animals. We look at the eye with all of its different elements coming together before it truly functions and works. We look at the human body, a gift from God, made by God. And what do I say? With God, all things are possible. So we move in our challenges, in our faith, towards from God. How is it ever possible? To God, I know your power is unlimited and you can do it. So look at the second part of what we are talking about today. There is a reason for the Spirit working in our inner man. Now, we are living in a world of many different churches, of many different faiths, in which they talk often a lot about God's Spirit. Sometimes in good ways, sometimes in ways that we know are not correct, sometimes in ways that we say, well, possibly, but not certain. What can we say for certain? Look at this verse. The power of God is at work in us, so that, look at these words, verse 17, so that there is a reason for the power to work in us. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That is what the Spirit wants. That is what God wants. He wants Christ to become visible in our lives. And again, we quote Romans chapter 8, verse 28, 29. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. This verse says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's the quest. That's the challenge. Christ in our hearts through faith. And we say, God, that is hard. We say, God, that is difficult. On a Sunday morning when we're together, then we say, well, God can do quite a bit, so I believe it. But tomorrow you're on the road, somebody cuts you off, you get to work, and somebody is not kind to you. And all of a sudden it's like, God, can you really do that? And God can. And again, that's the design of true Christianity, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. There are some people that are great tennis players. There are some people that are great soccer players. And you see them go out, right, on Saturday morning. They take their little bag. They take their tennis racket. They take their soccer ball, or they take, and they go. They are prepared. And the more they develop themselves into a soccer player or a tennis player, the bag is getting bigger because they need certain instruments which they did not know yet they needed. But over time, their bag is becoming bigger. The more instruments are taken, the better they get. That is the same thing with true Christianity. As we grow, we put some things in our bag. As we learn, we put some things into our bag. As we grow, we put some more things into our bag. And we also take some things out. And little by little, you become a professional. Little by little, you become a professional. So it says this: so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, so another, so that, or another, that you, another purpose, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Brothers and sisters, another way that we might say it, we all need to become experts in love. And we're not talking about loving our grandma, because grandma is always good to us. Grandma gives us a few dollars, a few euros when we do something right. That is loving because somebody loves us. But when we talk about God, when we talk about godly love, you know how far that goes? Godly love goes as far that Stephen said, Father, do not charge them with this, when he was stoned. Can you imagine? When Stephen was stoned, when they started to pick up stones and they threw them at Stephen. Stephen said, God, don't charge them with this. And of course, we know God is the ultimate judge. God is going to do what he needs to do. His judgment is fully right. But that was the mind of Stephen. We also saw it, of course, in Jesus, the same kind. And of course, that is the design of true Christianity, that we treat everybody the way that God treats them. And what does God say? His blessings fall on whom? The good and the bad. His rain falls on the just and the unjust. We need to become experts in doing what is right. We need to become experts in doing what is good. We need to become experts even when they treat us badly. That we say, how can I bless you? That we say, how can we pray for you? That we say, what can I do for you to make your life more beautiful? That's the design of true Christianity. And again, I'm just looking at myself and I say, God, is that possible? And God says, well, if you think humanly, then no, it's not possible. But God says, if you trust in me, if you hope in me, if you have faith in me, if you live by my word, if you are connected to me, then wonderful things are going to happen. Earlier this week, I was sitting behind my computer. I had to go downstairs, and when I came down, the screen was black. Uh-oh, what do I do? So I called somebody, and he said, you know, is the plug in well? He said, that's the first thing you need to look at. First, you need to look at the plugs, then you need to look at this, then you need to look at that. I said, well, let me have a look at it. So it was in, but it needed to go in just a little bit more. It had wedged its way out of it. It's all about connection. Because when the plug came in, the screen was perfect again. And so it is with us. We need to have that connection. And when the connection is there, it gives us everything that we need. And what happens? Then we will be filled with all the fullness of God. According to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't God good? I don't know about you, but when I look at my life, I am very happy that there are things in my life that you do not know. I'm very happy that there's a lot of things you do not know what happened in my life when I was younger. And I say, God, can you forgive that? And God says, yes, I can. And not only yes, I can, yes, I will. And not only yes, I will, God says, I will do that, and I will do it with all of my heart. Because he loves us. He loves us. It's a word, of course, that is often used, love. And love, of course, has many different definitions. We talked about grandma. I love my grandma, too. She was good to me. She loved me. She helped me. She gave me a few dollars when I got my report. When I would come, there would be something on the table to eat. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, while we were still enemies of God, we said, God, no time. We said, God, maybe later. We said, God, no. But God said, yes. I made you. I created you. I created you in your mother's womb. Psalms 139 says, I knitted you in your mother's womb. God has been a part of our lives from the very beginning, whether we want to know it, whether we don't want to know it. God has been a part of our lives from the very first moment on. And you know what? He wants to be a part of our lives today and tomorrow and the day after. And he wants to become an intimate part of your life. He just doesn't want to stand on the side. He doesn't want to be like what we sometimes call Santa Claus, that we only call upon when we need something. And you know what is most interesting? God wants to be an intimate part of our lives because he knows that only when he is an intimate part of our lives will be good. Only when God is that true, intimate part of our hearts, then our lives are going to be really good. And that is who God is. God loves us too much. God loves us, even when we don't want to have anything to do with Him. It's the same like our mothers and our fathers, at least for most of us. They wanted to be a part of our lives. Why? Not because they wanted to rule our lives, but because they knew they needed, we needed their love. We needed their commitment. We needed their hands. We needed their hearts. And then, when they could give all of that, our lives became full. Our lives became filled. And so it is with God. God wants to be a part of our lives because He knows that only when God is that intimate part of us, then we will become really happy. That is only when our lives becomes fruitful to the point that it can be fruitful. And what is the fruit? That we love as God loves. That we love the good, but that we also love the evil one. That is so important. But that is what Paul says in the book of Philippians. When you have that intimate relationship with God, what is going to be our part? The peace that surpasses the understanding. The peace that surpasses the understanding. That is what God promises us. But it's connected to being intimate with Him. Then he closes by saying, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So God says, please don't underestimate me. God says, please take into recognition who I am. God says, please recognize my greatness and my power. Because brothers and sisters, when we look at ourselves, we will not find it. But when we look at God, we find it all and in abundance. That is the promise of God. That is what He wants. That's our design for true Christianity, to become and grow into the image of Christ. When people meet us, they should sense that we talk differently, that we dress differently, that we act differently, that our goals are different, that our speech is different. I'm always a little bit amazed when you look at Acts chapter 2. It says they stood in favor with all people. Why? Because they had the love of God for God and for one another. Nobody could bring a charge against them. And brothers and sisters, we're going to close with those words. What about me? What about you? What about us? Do we allow God to work in us the way that He wants to work in us? Do we allow God to really become the persons that God wants us to be? Do we really allow God to let the church be what the church should be, without spot and without wrinkle, dressed in beauty? That's God's design. But as we all know, we have to make that choice. We have to think we have to reason. We need to reason and think who God is. And more, we need to reason what the love of what the answer should be from us to the love of God. God invites us. God says, I can make you. I can do with you so that you will become like Jesus, perfect in love. That's the challenge. That is what God wants. But how beautiful. What an adventure that God wants to go with us. And the beauty of this adventure is that God is not asking for something that cannot be done today. God is only asking today what you can do today. Tomorrow he will ask you what you can do tomorrow. But I would like to invite everybody, even myself, to fill up your bag and become a professional. Amen.